A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This, of course, is a well-known passage. It's a passage which is read out at carol services every Christmas. And it's a well-known passage because it contains such a lot. And I don't want to go into all of that such a lot. What I do want to do, though, is to look at a phrase in verse 14, a phrase which contains in its core the very essence of Christianity. You'll know it well. It reads like this: "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And that verse contains an awful lot. John, at the beginning of this reading, has introduced us to the concept of the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But this isn't a concept that John has dreamt up. This isn't a concept that has come from nowhere. Again and again and again in the Old Testament, we find that the Word comes to the prophets. And the Word of the Lord came to Isaiah and said, and that kind of stuff. You can see a very graphic illustration of this in the book of Genesis in 15 with Abraham, or Abram, as he was called then. And I'll read you from verse 4 of chapter 15 of Genesis. "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them." Now, I don't want to go into the content of what was said. We can do that another time. But I do want to look at the mechanism here. The word of the Lord, we read, came to Abraham. And then a little later on, we read, "And he brought him outside and said, Look towards heaven." So you have here this concept right in the core of the Old Testament of the word of the Lord interacting with people, taking them outside, pointing things out, the word of the Lord coming and communicating. So you have God and you have the word of the Lord. You have the Lord and the word of the Lord. Of course, they're the same. They're the same being. And the word was God. But yet they operate distinctively from each other. The word of the Lord comes to Abraham and takes him outside. Now, I'm saying all of this because John is drawing upon all of this. But we have this understanding, therefore, that the Word is very God of very God. The Word is God. Yes, this is where we start to see the beginnings of the Christian understanding of the Trinity. We have one God, but that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in three persons. And the second of those three persons, the Word, took flesh. Well, that's interesting, because that's a demonstration of both the divine nature of Christ and the human nature of Christ. The Word took flesh. This is the core of the Christian understanding, that the Word took flesh, that we had in Jesus fully God and fully man. And this is important for us because it demonstrates that God is doing something here which is deep and significant and profound. It is through this taking flesh that we are then reconciled to God. It's through this taking flesh that Christ has come and brought God to us in his very self. This is the core of the Christian understanding of salvation, that the Word took flesh, that Christ lived this sinless life, but was like us in every way, that this perfect Christ died as the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist would say later in the chapter, and that through that sacrifice we are reconciled, all of us, to God. The Word took flesh and dwelt among us. Now, interestingly, the word for dwelt quite literally means tented or tabernacled, or camped, I suppose you might say, among us. And it's an interesting echo of the tabernacle, because the tabernacle was the place where the presence of God dwelt and moved amongst the people. The tabernacle was also the place where sacrifices were made. The tabernacle was the place where, through the sacrifice of a perfect lamb, a sinful human being may be reconciled to God. And so this choice of word, surely, in John's mind is significant. This choice of word is a rich one for us, because it speaks of something of the mission of Christ, that he's not only God with us, so we must listen to his words that he teaches, but he's also this means of sacrifice, this means of reconciling us back to God. And so it is that this verse contains these very important elements of Christianity, this insistence that Jesus, the Word of God, the second person of the Trinity, came and took flesh, so that Jesus is fully human and fully God, and that he tabernacled amongst us. Not only is he the presence of God moving with his people, but he's also the place, he's also the means by which sacrifice is made and humans are reconciled back to God. This is the core of Christianity, and it's all around the person of Jesus, that in Jesus, God comes to us and shows us the way back home.